board in my hand. Feet in the sand. And I jumped in.
People, Tupi Cabrera here for the Lombardarian Podcast. Finally, the episode that many of you have been waiting for. I've been anxious on releasing it. It's taken a while. I apologize for that. I did this interview about 8 months ago. And like we say in Puerto Rico, tarde pero seguro. Meaning, a little bit late, but it's here. This episode is a longboard nerds special. I mean it in the context of those of you who like to learn, talk about longboard design. Listen, different people's perspective. Some we will analyze and agree with. Some we will analyze and go like, interesting. And maybe some of those perspectives that you listen to there, you go like, I'm not so sure. Regardless, this is an excellent conversation with Mr. Devin Howard. At the time of this interview, Devin was, as you'll hear in the beginning of the interview, was in the initial stage of his lady, his wife, being pregnant with their third child. That third child now is about 4 months old. So congratulations to the Howard family. On this episode, there are some words and phrases that I'm going to mention now. By the time you complete listening to the full episode, it's all going to make sense in regards to the following words and phrases, all related to the CI log. Wayne Rich, Harrison Roach, Donald Takayama, Cook Box, CJ Nelson, Nat Young, Australian Longboard Surfing, Model D, R&D, Balance of Designs, Channel Island Surfboards, Rail Gouges, Double Six, Six, Joel Tudor, Marshall Brothers. As I said, at the end of this episode, you'll understand why I mention all of these words and phrases. I truly hope you enjoy it. And if you really, really enjoyed it, please consider giving me a donation via Venmo. You can always DM me on my Instagram. If there's any other ways of support that you would like to contribute, that would be awesome. On Venmo, I am Tupi-Cabrera. Tupi is written T-U-P-I. And Cabrera is written, spelled C-A-B, as in Bob, R-E-R-A. Cabrera, like baseball players. Anyways, I really hope you enjoy this episode. I know you will. If you're not a longboard nerd, then it's time for you to sign off. But if you are a longboard nerd, here you go. Enjoy. See you in the water. You! Mr. Devin Howard, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good, Tupi. It's good to hear from you. How you been?
All good. Very busy with my daughter, and it's my understanding you have two, and there's news around the rumors about something coming in the pipeline in that regard.
Yes, we have a 2.5-year-old boy, a 1-year-old girl, and we're expecting a third baby right around the first of the year. So
Wow. What a blessing, man. What a blessing. A five-member family for the Howards.
Yes, we're starting a little crew, and cool. I think we're pretty good at that number. We're super excited.
Okay, awesome. Congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Talking about congratulations, one of the reasons why I reached out to you is because I want to share with my audience the story about the new model that you're behind you and Wayne Rich. It's my understanding that it just came out as congratulations. The board is available to the public. But I wanna hear from you the story. How did that come to be? This collaboration between a very respected longboarder in yourself and a very respected longboard shaper in Wayne Rich. Tell us about this story.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, we've had a lot of fun, a lot of response to this board. It's called the CI Log. And the story of the board is just, it goes back a couple years. And Wayne is an old friend. Gosh, I think I've known Wayne for about 25 years. I know Wayne primarily from the club contests up and down the California Coalition. And I'd seen boards he made with Joel Tudor over the years. He and Joel have collaborated a lot. Other people have collaborated with Wayne as well. I think CJ Nelson made a board with him. But primarily the stuff I saw Joel doing with Wayne when he had the Kookbox brand. There was a particular board that I'll never forget. It was a step deck. I think it was like a maroon color, like a wine color, that they had made for a young Harrison Roach. And I want to say this is, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years ago. I can't remember exactly. And it was at a Malibu contest that I was in, and I was watching Harrison surf this board. And everything he was doing, I said, that's what I want to do. That's the kind of surfing I want to do. That board looks insane. So I had to go up and have a look. I put it under arm. And you grab certain boards in your life and you never forget them, even if they're not your board. This is one of those boards.
And I can relate.
That is the day that planted the seed for this project. And it was many years in the making. And, you know, at the time I was riding for Donald Takayama. So it didn't really make sense for me to order a board from Wayne at the time. Donald passed away. And many years later, we crossed paths. And we started up the conversation that he and I had on the beach that day.
Oh, wow.
When I was asking him a lot of questions about that board. And I was like, this is where my head's at. That's what I want to be doing. And I want the surfing Harrison was doing. So that's the genesis of it.
So let me follow up with this story that you're telling me right now. You said that you were watching a young Harrison Roach surfing, and it really triggered something in you in regards to his approach. Is that right?
Yeah. Everybody, it's very common to talk about the influence of Australian longboard surfing. What I saw in Harrison that day was a type of surfing that I'd been interested in for many years. I've talked about this before, many others have. The film Hot Generation, the zenith of longboard surfing with Nat Young and that crew in 1966. It's something that a lot of surfers in the last decade have referenced as the continuum, like where we grab onto where longboarding dropped off and how do we continue that line? And what Harrison was able to do on that board was the high and tight nose rides, which are interesting to me. And you can do those if the design of the board doesn't impede your ability to be deep in the pocket and high up in the face of the wave. Boards with a really wide nose and really thick rails struggle to do that. In my opinion, this is totally, people can argue against this, of course, but my experience of my own surfing and what I've observed, the boards that are a little bit narrower or really thin and don't have a cumbersome rail or too much area can get higher up the face and deeper in the pocket. And that is consistent with what even a Joel Tudor would agree with, CJ, any of the top longboard surfers that are really paying attention to this stuff. And so I noticed that surfing that day. That's why I had to have a closer look at the board, because I wanted to see the outline. I wanted to see, was it wide hip back and pulled in? I don't remember exactly. I just remember that it had a very balanced outline and that the step deck was particularly interesting, because when Harrison was turning the board, it came around quick and easy. There wasn't like a weight issue. The swing weight didn't appear to be an issue. And then when he got on the nose, it was like a gas pedal, because he was able to position himself really deep, like a deep tube ride. And then when he got on the nose, he was able to accelerate and keep pace with the wave that was that particular day. Malibu can run off pretty quick sometimes. And he was able to stay up and keep pace with the wave. And that's not always the case. There's a lot of designs that you get left in the dust or you outrun the pocket. And that's what we're all trying to find, is the balance of the design that allows you to keep that pace with the curl of the wave. And so watching that surfing, looking at that board, going up and asking Wayne some questions, knowing it was, that was Joel and Wayne's collaboration at the time, I didn't really properly revisit this for over maybe a decade.
Hmm.
And that's sort of where it's funny to have something in your mind for a decade and then you don't actually get onto it till, that much later. Pretty cool.
Yeah, very interesting. So are you telling me that a decade ago, your surfing approach on a longboard has changed to today?
I think it has, yeah. Mentally, I wanted to be somewhere, and the boards I was riding at the time, I don't think were conducive to that. I was, up until Donald passed away, I was riding a lot of sort of the Model Ts, which is a more of a new wave style. And that's a fabulous board. I don't think it was the best fit for me, my own surfing. I think the nose was a little too wide. And if I look back on video, I can see that sometimes I'm struggling with it a little bit. And every surfer is different. Some people will tell you the Model T is the best board they've ever ridden. And I'm not here to say that it isn't. But what changed was when I was sort of moved away from that design. And the gateway was I got some boards from, after Donald passed, some boards from Tyler Hatzikian that were very much in the wheelhouse of that Wayne board. Tyler made a double step deck. And I think it's something he'd worked on. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the Marshall brothers wrote it. And I think before that, Matt Howard and Brittany rode the board. And that's when I started heading in a new direction, I think. I was like, okay, this is making more sense. I'm placing myself in the space of the wave that I want to be. And then when we get up to Wayne Rich, we start with those step deck designs, but over time, we start moving away from it and we have kind of like blended in a step deck. So the nose does get really refined up there, but it's not a step deck anymore. for different reasons, through the design process, we moved away from it. And the early prototypes I have was very thin up there. I think we got up to, it doesn't sound like a very lucky thing, but I think it was 13 boards we got to until we arrived in the place where we said, okay, this is it. And we went through a journey of different rockers, different places we put the roll, different concave. And it's all how they work together. So you make a board, you go out, you try it, you bring back the feedback to Wayne. And he really wants the details. And then he loves to hear the feedback and says, aha, I think I know what's going on. And then he goes back. And it takes a while. You know, it's not something you can rush. It was over a couple of years, period.
So there was 13 boards until you made it to the point where you and Wayne were happy with the design, the product. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes. And what happened is we got a little off course with the rockers. The rocker was too low initially. The board was turning like the best turning logs I've ever had in my life, for sure. And that's the versions he was calling it, the Model D. So the working name, because there was no like exact plan. We were just having fun as friends. Hey, let's have a project. There's no deadline. Let's see what happens. He called it the Model D as an ode to Donald Takayama, our mutual friend, as an ode to respect for Joel and Donald. You know, they had the Model T, so it kind of rhymes with that. The early one also had a diamond nose. So it just was all these kind of cool things and my own initial. It was just this fun name. And the board started to get maybe a little too flat. So the latter versions, we started going back and adding a little more rocker. Because the key design of the board is in the rail in the tail. So are you following me on this?
Yes, I am, 100%. I don't want to interrupt you.
So I think the key feature of this board that makes it stand out from others that are available is the rail in the tail. All logs share something very similar, which is a very soft rail in the tail. It's either a 50-50 rail and really bladed out, or I'd say in many cases, it's the opposite. It's kind of like a 70-30, but the rail is turned up toward the deck. Mm-hmm. And what that does, that's part of what's called the Kowanda effect. The water is coming along the rail, and it is invited up over the rail, and it holds on to the rail. It doesn't release off the rail. Hard edge is a release, and that is done on purpose to allow the board to free up and loosen up, especially on turns. For nose riding, you don't want that. If you do get release, you'll end up side slipping down the wave and doing, you know, a helicopter. Now, if that's what you want to do, the edge is fantastic for that. For most people, it's very difficult to get a deep critical nose ride and have edge in the tail. It is not impossible. There are people doing it. They just have to change certain things with the rail, the rocker. Wayne and I, for our own project, we wanted to stay true to the genre of the log, but with a goal of how can we make a true log turn and perform better. How could we do that? Because a lot of logs, all the ones I've enjoyed and that are still among my favorite boards I've ever had, they have a bit of a boggy feel on the turns. That is the nature of those designs. That's what we've come to accept as the trade-off. To have a really good nose ride, most of us are willing to accept that the bottom turn and the cutback is a little bit of a boggy, slowdown feel. Mm-hmm. We've learned to embrace it, and we don't hate on it. It's just that's what it is. But after decades of riding those kinds of boards, Wayne and I had a curiosity of how could we have the board accelerate more, feel more control, have more of a rebound, and really just accelerate better. So Wayne incorporated this rail that he's been working on for a long time. In fact, he mentioned even Joel Tudor has had some version of this rail in the past. And maybe didn't even realize it. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Joel. But this is something that Wayne's been messing around with for a long time. But this was the first time he really put it to practice. And we continued to develop and refine it over 13 boards.
The very result of the board. Very interesting.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I wanna say something here, Devin. I had the pleasure to check out this board once. It was a prototype. I'm not sure if it was number 6, 7, 8, or 9. It was like maybe a year ago. I saw you at the beach and you had it, and I gave it a quick glance. And I thought, wow, that's a sexy board. But then we have a friend that purchased the board from you, the final product. And that's Ben. Ben came to my house and showed me the board. And I had the pleasure to really check out the board. And my impression was very positive because, again, I'm going to use the word sexy, the adjective sexy. It looks like a sexy outline, sleek, S-L-E-E-K. The outline is sleek, and the part of the board that most stood out to me was the tail. You're talking about the tail. And initially, when I first looked at it, I was like, what is this? And then it's a rail in the tail that I've seen in the past with Wayno boards, but it looked tweaked. There was something different about it. And initially, I was like, is this a down rail? But no, you know, I was touching it and looking at it, and it's unique. It looks, again, sexy. It looks like it could provide some speed in your turning. That was my impression. I would love to try it out at some point because it looks like it'd be a very, very fun longboard. So anything else you want to add in regards to the design before we move on?
Just maybe one or two more things. Hopefully this isn't too much info or too boring, but I'm glad that you said you saw some versions of this rail earlier, because I don't want to say that I didn't invent this rail. Wayne's been refining it. I think where the difference is we pushed the rail idea further. So through the R&D process, we landed in a space where we could maximize that rail design to get the most out of the turns that I've ever experienced on a quote-unquote log, but not at the total detriment of nose riding, because you can put a crazy edge back there, but you could be struggling to nose ride. So that was the fun, was finding the balance of that. And then I think overall, in the end, he was able to take the board to another level by making a fin that goes with it. I've been riding the Greeno 4A for a long time. I've tried a lot of different fins. I always kind of come back to that one. And he asked me, why are you riding that fin? I said, I don't know. It's because I like it. He's like, no, man, we can do better. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, well, the Greeno, this is like the sacred fin, man. And he's like, hey, no disrespect to Greeno. He's got mad respect for him. He's like, but it's too upright, and it doesn't have enough area in the sort of tip part of the fin. So he's got other designs that he's done. I think he has one called the Highliner that's maybe similar to this fin, but it's got way more tip and more rake, which I wasn't that into. I tried it. So he drew this template, and I loved it, man. It made the board go better. Like, the board was already working unreal, but when we threw that in, I went, it took the nose riding to another level. It got more drive and more stability. So I think the beauty of the board is being able to complement it. And then I think the last thing maybe I could share is, well, why is Wayne doing this with Channel Islands? You know, I think it's an important
topic. Go on.
Yeah. So we could have just left this design with Wayne only. And, you know, he has made a few for people. It's called the Model D. Now, the board has evolved since then. And where we landed is a place where we're super excited. And we would like a lot of people to have the opportunity to try the design. If you want a Wayne Rich design right now, it's a long waiting list. The guy is like backlog. And it would be kind of a bummer if people couldn't access the design. So I'm over at Channel Islands. My family and I are a part owner of the company. It is owned by employees and team riders. And we just floated the idea by all of us. We wanted to make a really beautiful longboard. And Britt Merrick loved the idea of passing that responsibility to Wayne, because Wayne's a longtime friend of the Channel Islands brand for decades. And he's in the 805 area code. And it just seemed like a perfect situation for everybody, because we've been doing these mid-length boards and they've gone really well. And with or without Wayne, we're going to do a longboard. But there's nobody better for the job. If one of the top brands in the world is going to put out a longboard, it has to be the best. And that's not a knock on any of the shapers in our building. But if you could work with the best, why wouldn't you? And if Channel Islands is going to put its name on and sort of claim, hey, we have what we feel is one of the best longboards out there. Now, that's arguable. There's probably going to be people who will totally disagree. But from our heart and our place, we put a lot into this. And so the cool thing about this project is, if you've always wanted a Wayne and you're in another part of the world, you have access to that. Now, Wayne has spent a lot of time training everybody. We've spent hours and hours and hours of training, Wayne and I personally, with every shaper in the world that's doing this. We have rail gauges. So every like 6 inches, there's a rail gauge so that the shaper can't miss this rail. We have templates. We've had philosophical discussions. We've reviewed the physical boards. So nice. A lot's gone into this, and I think it's a good thing for everybody. It's a win-win. And our model is to build boards domestically. They're made right here in California. If you're in Australia, they'll be made there. If they're in Bali, they'll be made there. If they're in Europe, they'll be made there. So we're not consolidating all of the work into one space, like only California, and then we're just sort of pushing them out in the world. I'm excited about this model, to have surfers and friends build them. And at the end of the day, we love surfboards, and we hope people feel the love when they see the board and when they ride the board.
I think you mentioned last time we talked that there might be some demoing activities going on. Is that right?
Yes.
What's going down with that?
I'm building, I don't know, about half a dozen boards. I mean, boards are expensive now with everything, you know. So I'm going to have about half a dozen. And I'm just going to go in each sort of county, San Diego, Orange County, you know, Los Angeles, 805. And then I'll put out a little message on Instagram. Hey, I'm going to be at this break all day. If you want to try the board, come down. It's free.
That's very
just
cool.
Bring it back, because I'm gonna hold your license or your credit card in case you don't come back.
That's very cool. Okay. You know, I usually like to do for my podcasts the rapid fire segment called the 10. I'm gonna take away one of the questions I had for that rapid fire to finish our conversation, and then we're gonna do the 9 instead of the 10. But I think it's important that we talk about the following question, okay? That is very relevant to this conversation we've had. I like to think about the spectrum of longboard designs, right? And I've come up with this concept of there being a spectrum from 1 to 8. And 1 is the most modern, high-performance style longboard that you can imagine. Lightweight, super maneuverable, you know, you can imagine. And then 8 is a log from 1967, right? And then maybe a 7 is like a Tyler Hatzikian style longboard, or a Davenport, or you know, one of those great traditional style longboards. Where would you put the CI log in that spectrum?
Okay, So on that scale you've set, I'm going to say we're 5 or 6. There is no edge in the tail. So I feel that we're within the genre. And outline-wise, we're within that genre. Why I would lean toward 5 or 6 is the models that are the stock versions, the glass job's a little bit lighter. So most logs are 8-6 deck, 8 on the bottom. We went with double 6 deck and 6 bottom. And the reason being is that the 8-6-8, it sort of excludes a wider range of people, in my opinion, because they're very heavy and very cumbersome. I like riding the heavy ones. A lot of, you know, my friends do. Tupi, you might enjoy it. But what we found by doing the double 6-6 is we were able to shave off about 2 pounds. So my 9-9, it comes in around 18 to 19 pounds. It depends on the day, you know, and the weather, how much resin was soaked in. But it's never been above 19 and it's never been below 18. A smaller one, let's say like a 9-4, is going to come in around 16 or 17 pounds, depending on the day. And what that does is it just lets you maneuver the board a little easier. It's not as, you don't have to struggle to turn the board and fight it, but there's still enough weight to have a glide and for it to be stable and to nose ride.
Okay. Well, I'm ready for the rapid fire segment. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
When are you starting up a new professional longboard tour organization?
I will never do that. That's my answer. I think there's enough options out there.
Okay.
If I want to do that, I'll go sit with my friend Israel down at the Mexi Log Fest and just help him.
There you go. Okay. Next one. You got the CI log. It's perfect head high boo or perfect head high rincon. What do you choose? Ooh, difficult.
Malibu.
Okay. Biggest fin you've ever ridden?
11-inch BNR, the Bing Nose Rider fin by Fins Unlimited. Still have it.
Does it work well? You like it?
I like it a lot. Yeah, it's a pivot fin. It's a little narrower than the fin Donald Takayama made for the Model T. It's a little narrower and deeper.
Okay.
Insane.
Last time you had to be a surf etiquette enforcer?
Jeez. I try not to be that person, but this past winter, I watched a guy kick out of a wave, let his board go, and it hit the guy behind him right in the mouth and split his whole mouth and face open. And then he got on his board and didn't even say sorry, wow. Didn't say anything. Paddled back out and just pretended like nothing happened. But I had some choice words for him, and let's just say he went in.
Okay. Question answered. Heaviest longboard you've ever surfed that you loved?
9-10 Jacobs. Shaped by Donald Takayama, step deck. It was made in 1966. The reason it was so heavy is somebody did a really bad repair job on it. It weighed in the high 20s. It was crazy.
High 20s. Wow.
Yeah, but worked well.
Okay. Fishing or golfing? Golfing.
Fishing.
Last time you did a helicopter?
10 years ago, and I didn't mean to.
A word that describes being a dad.
Privilege.
And the last one. Where is your next surf session going to be at?
A crappy beach break in the Ventura area.
Okay, there we go. Devin, thank you so much for this conversation. I am sure longboard nerds are going to appreciate it. I like going on deep dives, and we just did. We could have gone even deeper, but I didn't want to risk getting into confidential information about the specifics of the board. I wanted to ask you about rockers, this and that, but again, I wanted to be respectful. I'm not sure if that's information that you and Wayne want to provide, But I think you gave enough to give a good description of the CI log. To finish, if people are interested in purchasing, what do you suggest?
If someone's interested, their local surf shop has it, or they can message me on Instagram. I can try and find a store that has it.
Okay.
Or you can go to cisurfboards.com. We have them there, and you could also design a custom version on our website. Super fun to do that too.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope your family keeps doing well this year, and congratulations on the new one that's coming.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. You too. And I'll hopefully see you in the water. Let's get this summer started. We're still waiting for the swells to come. So as soon as they do, I'll see you out there.
Agale. Okay, man. I'll see you in the water.
You bet. Thank you.
People, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was, to me, as a longboard nerd that I am, I love talking about longboard design and learning new things. Learning of different perspectives on regards to longboard performance. I want to thank Devin Howard, and I want to thank you, my audience. Thank you for the support. And remember, talking about support, if you can donate $1, $2, $3, whatever it is, don't forget, you can do so. One way of doing it is through Venmo. My Venmo is Tupi-Cabrera. Anything is appreciated. And honestly, go surfing. I'll see you in the water. Okay, people, take care. Hablamos. You.